And when they do, we will have come to the close of an election season that's been nearly 2 years long, at least at the presidential level. Nevertheless, these last 24 hours of the campaign, as they always do, they have heightened the stakes and heightened differences and finally put before voters that simplest and most important of questions. Who will you vote for? So listeners, in the Massachusetts Senate race, in the race for the White House, who will you choose? Maybe who have you already chosen and why? What do you think is at stake for you, your family, for the state and the country in election 2012? What do you make of the most expensive Senate and presidential races in history? And what do you think these races are saying about Massachusetts and about America? We want to hear from you. Participate in the Radio Boston democratic process and call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now to take on some of these big questions is our weekly political roundtable. Susan Tracy is president of the Strategy Group and former Democratic state representative. Great to have you back, Susan.
Thanks, Meghna.
You're looking awfully full of energy and spry for these last 24 hours. Also with us is Nancy Dwight. She's chair of Dwight Partners and former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Nancy, always great to see you as well.
Great to be here.
Are you beaming with that 24-hour energy?
I could not be happier.
Well, let's first start where Anthony left us off, and that is with the Massachusetts Senate race. Based on what you heard from those stump speeches today from both Senator Brown and Elizabeth Warren, Susan, let's start with you. What do you think are Elizabeth Warren's priorities in literally these last hours?
Well, I think they're both being consistent right to the end. He's playing the bipartisan card, and Elizabeth Warren is doing the fight for the middle class. I'll be with you. Women's issues are obviously front and center for her. So she's maintaining consistent, and it clearly seems to be a strategy that's worked for her, so she should stay on that message. It's working.
Nancy, your thoughts?
True. I mean, while she's appealing to her base, he's trying to get more of her base. And it's interesting. You could tell by the tone of their voices. They're losing their voices. I mean, it's just nonstop campaign time for both of them, careening all around the state. Both of them, though, appealing to the same, pretty much the same Democratic coalition that they're both trying to get. There just obviously aren't enough Republicans. Scott's trying to appeal to independents, but they're also both trying to cut into that group outside the cities and in the cities.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, the polling out today shows that it's basically tied. They're within, Scott Brown apparently has a 1-point lead, which is within the 4-point margin of error, within that. And I've also read that in part, it seems part of that reason is that Brown may be seeing his support amongst some of those Democrats eroding slightly, that more are going over to Elizabeth Warren in these last days.
Well, I think I'll say it before Susan will, which is don't trust the polls in a few days before the election. And we can talk about that with the presidential later on. But if it's true and if it's eroding 4 points and he's still ahead, that is a good thing for Scott Brown going into tomorrow. They both have momentum. They both have their coalitions. They've both spent record amounts of money. They're both messaging all the way to the very end on television and door to door and person to person. So, we'll just have to see tomorrow.
Susan?
I'm going to quote Bill Clinton from the Democratic Convention. This is about arithmetic. And I think one of the things that is really tough for Scott Brown in this race and really advantageous for Elizabeth Warren is when Scott Brown won in 2010 in the special, 2.2 million voters came out. Tomorrow, Bill Galvin, the Secretary of State, is predicting that 3.2 million voters are going to come out. That's a million voters more. I think we know that Barack Obama is going to win and win big in this state, maybe by 20% or more. And I think when you bring a million new voters out and you have a strong Democrat at the top of the ticket pulling those votes out, that benefits Elizabeth Warren. And I think the numbers are in her favor as we look at tomorrow.
Nancy?
Numbers are in her favor, but we've got to remember that he won in 2010 based on Democratic vote and independent vote. So it's not as if he has not, he's been unable to attract that voter, that kind of voter.
I would agree. I just don't think that the numbers that he needs to attract them in are going to be easy for him to do with a million new people coming out to vote.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about a slightly different set of numbers. But, in the era that we live in, every single set of numbers matters. And that is the amount of money spent in this campaign, most expensive in Massachusetts political history. And B, in that same polling, what really jumped out at the same polling from today, what really jumped out at me is that Many of these millions of dollars going towards negative ads on both sides, Warren and Brown. And one thing that the poll found is that 4 in 10 voters now have an unfavorable view of both candidates. So, Nancy, let's start with you. What effect has money had on this campaign?
Well, and what's also remarkable about this is both candidates pretty much held to the pledge of no outside money. So these are ads, these are messages, this negative being run from inside the campaigns, which is unusual. There's no question that the negativity, I think, is wearing on voters. I was up in New Hampshire this weekend, and more voters that I spoke to, more of those battleground state voters, are so tired of the negative messaging. Negative, you know, Susan and I both know from this profession we love, negative does drive voters' opinion one way or the other, and that's why we see it over and over again. But I'm wondering if this time we haven't hit that point of too much.
I think we might have hit the point of too much. I don't think it means it's going to stop,
I think we've got to look at this question.
Yeah, and I also think the negativity, I think people, it all starts to blur together. I don't think people are necessarily reacting that it's negative against Brown or negative against Warren. I think all of it blends together. We obviously get hit with a lot of New Hampshire advertising here. Mm-hmm. It all blends together, and I think it's a turnoff. I'm with that little girl who was crying because she wanted the ads to end. I think she's...
Poor Abigail in Colorado.
Yeah, yes, she spoke for all of us.
Let's take a quick call here. Listeners, we're talking about the last 24-hour push in election season 2012. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's start in the South End in Boston, where Ingrid's on the line. You're on the air, Ingrid.
Hi. No, I was saying that I'm one of the independent voters who have not yet made up her mind in terms of who I'm going to vote for. I feel let down by Scott Brown, pretty much. The promises that he made in 2010, he did not keep a lot of them. Whereas Elizabeth Warren, there's something about her that I'm kind of scared. I feel like if I do vote for her, she's going to be able to work with Republicans in terms of, because I just feel like she's a little too on the left.
Ingrid, so I mean, you've just got what, like 12 hours or so? I mean, the less than 12 hours before the. What do you think is you're going to need to change your mind, to make up your mind?
The only thing that Elizabeth Warren really has going for her if she were to go get my vote tomorrow is the fact that I also do not want a Republican majority in the Senate.
Ingrid, thank you so much for your call. I want to give our roundtable a chance to chime in on that. Nancy, let's start with you. How indicative do you think Ingrid is of that small portion of voters who
I think Ingrid,
are still trapped in indecision?
Well, I think Ingrid's very, very much a part of what I'm seeing out there. I saw it this weekend. We're seeing it now in this momentum buildup for Governor Romney nationally, which is people who have decided are in some cases pausing and changing their opinions. People who have not decided, like you, Ingrid, are really, really thoughtfully thinking about this. And the Scott Brown message that I think is cutting through a lot is this point about being independent, in the middle, a negotiator, somebody who can go down and actually work with the Democrats and not be kowtowed by the Republican leadership.
But you also heard what Ingrid said, that
she
doesn't want a Republican majority, regardless of Brown's independence.
No wonder this
is
a hard choice for Ingrid, because she wants a bipartisan person, but she doesn't want a Republican direction.
But she wants somebody who can talk to both sides. And the question she has is whether Elizabeth Warren can work with the other side.
Susan, let's hear more from you.
I just feel like, you know, as I said, I think Ingrid summed it up. She wants a bipartisan member, but she doesn't want a Republican direction, taking hold in the Senate. I think clearly those are messages that both Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren have been trying to put out there. So maybe they've been very effective because Ingrid has embraced both of them and doesn't know which one to choose.
Well, let's move on, if we can, to presidential politics, because New England turns out to be a pretty important race when it comes to the race for the White House. Today, former Governor Mitt Romney was in Florida. He will swing back through Manchester, New Hampshire, before he ends up at home in Belmont this evening. But here's a little bit of what he told a Florida crowd this morning.
Tomorrow, we begin a new tomorrow. Tomorrow, we begin a better tomorrow. This nation is going to begin to change for the better tomorrow.
Tomorrow, of course, being Election Day. Well, President Barack Obama is also making a very impassioned push in key states. He's in Wisconsin, Ohio, and Iowa. Here he is in Madison, Wisconsin, earlier today.
We have come too far to turn back now. We've come too far to let our hearts grow faint. Now's the time to keep pushing forward, to educate all our kids and train all our workers. create new jobs, bring our troops home, care for our veterans, broaden opportunity, grow our middle class, restore our democracy, and make sure that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter how you started up, no matter what your last name is, you can make it here in America if you try.
That was President Barack Obama this morning in Wisconsin. Nancy, let's start with you. Another race still neck and neck. You hear both of them maybe sounding a little bit weary, but what do you see in these last hours?
Oh, remarkably close. Remarkably close. There's no question about it. But what I do see is real enthusiasm on the Republican side and real enthusiasm with the voters that they've targeted over these many, many months and years now, and a nervousness on the Obama side. They're wary. I mean, again, their strategy has been based on the well-discussed micro-targeting, you know, going into these specific battleground states and specifically aiming messages at very, very specific parts of their coalition. While the Republican, what has happened now, the Republican message has been broader and more general. And so the question is, at this closing moment, whether the micro-targeting, the small side of this election wins, or whether the large side of this election wins.
Susan, let me ask you, do you see that same nervousness? Because if you're supposedly, you know, looking at polls and how those polls may or may not match to electoral college outcomes, it seems like a lot of that might give reason, the Obama camp reason, to feel a little more confident than what Nancy was just describing.
I would agree. I think the Obama camp probably is more confident. When you look at the map, the national number doesn't really matter all that much. It's really about a handful of states that are left. And I think almost every one of them, the trend has been Obama leading by a couple of points. They're all very close, I'll give you that. But I also think the momentum of the last couple of days and the last weekend of an election is a critical one, especially in a race that is this close. And if you follow these numbers on a daily basis the way Nancy and I do, you'll see that there's just been a gradual uptick. And if Ohio is blue tomorrow night, this race is over for Barack Obama.
Let's take a quick call. Paul is calling from Hyde Park. You're on the air, Paul.
Hi. I wanted to point out or mention that I've been unemployed for all of Barack Obama's presidency. This is not something I'm proud of. I started joking with people that I'm the first person who was laid off, so when I get hired again, the recession will be over. And the point that I have is that I don't understand how the Republicans can consistently ignore the negativity and the pain that their policies will cause in this nation, and their ability to be so completely blind to the implications of the policies that they are espousing is totally beyond me.
Paul, I'm going to cut you off there. I'm sorry to do so. I just want to be able to get Nancy and Susan to respond to you. Thank you so much for your call. Nancy, I mean, this is something that a lot of people like Paul, who are also probably dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, feel like they just don't understand how, in their opinion, the Republican Party is tone deaf to their needs.
Well, in fact, though, Paul, I'm sorry about your circumstance, but we don't feel we are tone deaf. What we're trying to do is restore a jobs-based growth economy. And to do that, we feel we have to bring government under control so that there's far more opportunity for you and for others in job creation going forward.
Susan, your response?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Paul has what I would consider a pretty thoughtful approach to his own situation. Instead of sort of being mad at the person who's there, you know, Barack Obama's responsible, understanding that the policies that brought us to the devastation of the last 2 years really came about prior to Barack Obama's term. And I think he's being thoughtful and saying, you know, I don't want to go back and do this all over again. I think that's helpful to President Obama when people sort of understand that he's been trying to dig us out, not dig us deeper in. And going backwards doesn't help us to dig out.
Yet, and I keep coming back to this. I mean, I hear what both of you are saying, but the electorate doesn't hear either of your messages because this race is so close.
Well, half of them
exactly.
do.
Half of them we're appealing to. But that's the point of the enthusiasm for the Republicans that's out there right now, that I'm seeing at least. And again, not in New England, not right where we are in Massachusetts, certainly, but in the large parts of the center and south of this country, there's a hope and an optimism for an economic future that creates jobs.
I want to get one more call in here if I can, Susan.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Mary's calling from Andover. You're on the air, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to make the point that something became starkly clear in this election, that we desperately need more civics and media literacy education, especially in light of the horrific Citizens United decision. People have been bombarded with ads. This has been the most expensive campaign in history, and voters need to understand how the system works. They need to understand that it is they who make the decision. Our elected officials work for us, and that all of the confusion that's been thrown at us with all of this money, we need to figure out, people need to know how to navigate their way through all of these media messages.
Mary, thank you so much for your call, because it's an extremely important point. We are looking at a $3 billion presidential campaign. It's a mind-boggling number. Susan, let's start with you. I mean, that seems to be a very wise call from Mary, that voters have to be more responsible than ever for sussing out the truth.
I think Nancy and I would agree on this. We've spoken about it before. The amount of money that is being spent in these races is unconscionable. And the fact that we don't even know where it's coming from and who's putting this money in millions of dollars, and we see little taglines at the end of ads, and we don't know who's responsible for it. And if you don't think money matters in races, you know, we can talk about this at some point, but look at the referendum races going on in Massachusetts, and we can talk a little bit about money in those races and understand that money really does matter, negatives matter, and this system has got to change. I think Nancy and I both would agree on that.
Absolutely. Just quickly, Mary, I can't thank you enough for bringing this up. This is my favorite issue, because it's been absolutely outrageous in this election, and I think you're right to steer it towards a need for better civics, a need for media literacy, a need to spread the opportunity for messaging beyond just television advertising. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, we're all going crazy about this.
Yeah.
So I hope, you know, whether it's a reexamination of the pathway out of Citizens United, which some people are thinking about, or whatever it takes, we have to dedicate it. This is not a partisan issue. Susan and I both agree. Both sides want this resolved in some better way.
Well, it's been a great election season with the two of you. We'll be hearing a little bit more from you guys on the back end of whatever happens tomorrow. But Nancy Dwight, Chair of Dwight Partners and former Executive Director of the National Republican Congressional Committee, thanks so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And Susan Tracy, President of the Strategy Group and former Democratic State Representative, thank you as well.
Thanks, and we're enthusiastic Democrats. Just want to say.
Well, listeners, we are going to take a look at election news north of the border after the break at important races in New Hampshire and Maine. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.